Hey guys, welcome back to the Toxic Mom Podcast. This is an update podcast. This has nothing to do with my new season, which starts on March 7th, 2022. And I will have four good stories for you guys, and I hope you get a chance to check them out. Okay, as we know, on February 23rd, 2020, Ahmaud Arbery, a black man from Georgia, went out on a jog, and he unfortunately did not make it home. He ran past the home of Gregory and Travis McMichael, father and son, who decided to pursue him because he looked like the man that they had saw on camera footage from their neighbor's home. Their neighbor's house was getting renovated, and due to that, it became an attraction for people on jogs. One couple apparently had a date there. Kids were in and out, and the homeowner did say that he was noticing things missing. However, he said they were missing from his boat. He never told the cops that things were missing from inside his house. However, the McMichaels were under the assumption that Ahmaud Arbery was the culprit to this imaginary stuff that they claim went missing. As they were pursuing Ahmaud down the street, a man named William Roddy Bryan jumps in his car and he wanted to see what was going on. He became alarmed when he was outside working on his porch and he saw the F-150 that the McMichaels were driving fly down the road after Ahmaud Arbery. So they were arrested and they were tried and ultimately convicted in November of 2021 of murder. Gregory and Travis McMichael were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and William Roddy Bryant, the man who filmed the event, was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole, and in Georgia, you have to serve at least 30 years of your sentence before you are eligible for parole, so that brings him to his mid-80s if he is going to get granted any sort of parole. They were sentenced in January of this year, January 7th to be exact. They were sentenced, and during that sentencing hearing, we heard from the state who requested life without parole for the McMichaels, which they were granted, and they requested life with parole for William Roddy Bryant, which was granted. We heard statements from Ahmaud's sister, his father, and also his mother. Nobody for the McMichaels spoke, but we do know that his Mr. McMichael's wife was there during the trial, along with his daughter, who obviously is Travis's mom and sister, but they were not present during the sentencing hearing. And William Roddy Bryan's fiance was in the courtroom, but she did not speak. The three defendants all had their attorneys speak on their behalf. And before the judge gave his sentence, he spoke. Some judges speak, some judges don't. This judge decided to speak, and he made a pretty powerful statement before he gave his sentence and why he came up with that. So I'll play a little bit of that for you.
Let me start with this statement. As we all now know, based upon the verdict that was rendered in this court in November, Ahmaud Arbery was murdered. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy on many, many levels. On February 23rd of 2020, almost 2 years ago, a resident of Glynn County, a graduate of Brunswick High, a son, a brother, a young man with dreams, was gunned down in this community. As we understand it, he left his home apparently to go for a run, and he ended up running for his life. He entered the English home at approximately 1:04 p.m. and left that home at about 1:08 on that day. At 1:14, Greg McMichael calls 911 to let them know that there's a black male running down the street, and within moments, Ahmaud Arbery is shot and killed. The three men that are now before this court chased him in a residential neighborhood for at least 5 minutes in pickup trucks, armed with a shotgun and a .357 revolver. The state mentioned this today about the time period, but I do want to put that time period in context. And the only way I could think to do so may be a little theatrical, but I think it's appropriate. I want us all to get a concept of time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit silently for 1 minute. And that 1 minute, represents a fraction of the time that Ahmaud Arbery was running in Satilla Shores.
Okay, so as you can hear, the judge was really riveted by the to sit there for 1 minute. So let's go back to that.
That's approximately a minute. Again, the chase that occurred over about a 5 minute period. I thought about this. I thought from a lot of different angles, and I kept coming back to the terror that must have been in the mind of the young man running through Satilla Shores. The jury heard the evidence and returned a verdict. And what a difficult job they had under the circumstances. Without any comment on the verdict itself, I think all counsel will agree and accept that this was a very difficult case. I even get a jury impaneled on, and there are issues out there with regard to the jury that were brought us and elsewhere. But I want to give credit to those members of the panel, not because of their verdict, just because of the fact that they were willing to go through the process that they went through with the state, with the defense, and with this court. Here today to sentence the defendants. In discharging the duty, this court is required to consider all mitigating and aggravating circumstances. The court has considered those circumstances, including but not limited to all aspects of the crimes charged, the past criminal record or lack thereof of the defendants. I've also considered any lawful evidence which tends to show the motive of the defendants, their lack of remorse, their general character, and any predisposition to commit other crimes. Now, I think in this case, the record speaks for itself, and the defendant's own words, I think, guide this court with regard to sentencing. Went back through my notes and other resources to pull some of the quotes that we have in this case. I'll start with Greg McMichael. In my opinion, Greg McMichael, very early on in this, tried to establish a narrative. He made comments like, Ahmaud Arbery is trapped like a rat. Stop or I'll blow your and I won't repeat it again head off. He effectively admitted that he wasn't sure what Ahmaud Arbery had done wrong. Quote, I don't think the guy has actually stolen anything out there. Or if he did, it was early in the process. But he keeps going back over and over again into this damn house. Again, back to the narrative. He told Travis, you have no choice. Told another individual at the side or at the scene, this guy ain't no shuffler. This guy's an asshole. Commented that he wanted him, Ahmaud Arbery, to know that we weren't playing. The guy I would have shot him.
Okay, so that went on for another 6 minutes. One of the things that the judge pointed out to him that stood out, and he used the word chilling, was watching Travis McMichael raise the gun up to Ahmaud and shooting him twice. And another thing he pointed out was that the two of them, after they committed this heinous crime, they just turned their backs on them. When he was speaking about William Roddy Bryan, he acknowledged that William Roddy Bryan had different intentions on why he was there and seemed disturbed that it happened. That's up for debate, and I'll talk more about that when we get to the federal hate crimes charge and why I feel that that particular statement is up for debate that he was disturbed. So he, like I said, sentenced all three of them to life in prison. Now, let's get to their hate crimes trial, because remember, they were also charged with hate crimes, and the federal prosecutors alleged that the only reason that Ahmaud Arbery was chased down was because he was black. The police let the McMichaels know on several occasions that Ahmaud was never seen leaving with anything. He didn't steal anything, he didn't take anything from the property. But even knowing that information from law enforcement, they still decided to chase him down and kill him. They took a plea deal, but it was scratched once the federal judge was made aware by the family that they were adamant they did not want a plea agreement at all. William Roddy Ryan did not make any plea agreement. This was done by the McMichaels team of lawyers, and the judge honored the request of Ahmaud Arbery's family and rejected the plea deal. So they both retracted their guilty pleas for an exchange of not guilty so that they would go to trial. The trial for the hate crime was based pretty much on social media messages that all three defendants wrote and also text messages. In 2020, I want to say towards the end of 2020, 48 Hours over on CBS did a special on this case. And it already started to come out that William Roddy Ryan, the man who drove and filmed it, was a racist. Text messages were coming out, and his attorney, Kevin Goff, who we saw during the state trial, put on a hell of a show on his client's behalf. Stated that although these are words that he doesn't use, he didn't think his client was racist. So that goes back to my thinking that I don't really think William Roddy Bryan was disturbed that this happened. I think he might have been shocked to see it happen in front of him because perhaps he's never seen someone killed in cold blood. But I don't believe that he was disturbed that Ahmaud Arbery was shot and killed. I think he could care less about that, because he admitted on body camera footage, and when they finally got him in the into the police station, that he used his truck to box in Ahmaud because he looked like he was up to no good. So that's why I said that earlier. All right, so the people that took the stand for the federal hate crimes trial, one of the witnesses was Travis McMichael's boss, who fired him once the video came out. Obviously, there was a conversation between Travis McMichael's boss and him about the events that had took place on February 23rd, 2020. But after he was able to finally view that footage, like we all did, when it was released to the media, he said that his story did not match what the video showed. So he ultimately did fire him. William Roddy Bryan's daughter allegedly was dating a black man, and that infuriated him. So they read those text messages where he referred to her, his daughter's boyfriend, as a nigger and as a monkey. Travis McMichael used the N-word quite a few times on Facebook posts that his friends were allegedly shocked to see. That to me is up for a debate, because what's that expression? You are the company you keep. So I find it a little hard to believe that some people found this shocking, considering that it seems like these three men lived a life full of hate. And I'm pretty sure that Travis McMichael's hate for black people came from his father. So this is a good example of when your parents don't always have your best interest at heart. Travis McMichael also referred to a parade that was being held in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., a parade, he called it a monkey parade. There was a video on Facebook, apparently, that was circulating around of a black man pulling a prank on a white man. And Travis McMichael wrote that if he could kill the blank, the N-word, he would. And there was also some other messages where showed that his father, Gregory McMichael, said, "Those blacks are nothing but trouble." So as we can see, these three men are not kosher. And you could kind of tell that. I'm one of those people that feel how you mend off is how you look physically. If you look back at how the McMichaels in particular looked before they even got to court, they were very unkempt looking. They were non-approachable looking men compared to what they look like now. Travis McMichael in particular lost a plethora of weight. And he actually looked presentable, whereas before he looked very unpresentable because he was living a life full of hate, all three of them. So they looked how they lived, a mess, if you get what I'm saying. So that trial lasted for about a week, and the jury deliberated for about 3 hours, and they came back with all guilty verdicts. William Roddy Bryan was the only one that wasn't charged with the use of a firearm because, again, we know that he had no weapon on him. And one thing I'll say about his state trial, I believe he should have been tried separately from the defendants because, as the judge pointed out, his intentions were quite different. He didn't go there to kill anybody. He more so was being newsy, but then when he realized that this was a black man, it made him furious. So he put on an assumption. And remember the prosecutor, Linda Dunikowski, said this was a case full of assumptions. He made the assumption that Ahmad was horrible because he was black, so he had to have done something. But again, having said all that, I think he should have been tried separate. You can agree to disagree. And his attorney brought this up during the sentencing hearing, which the judge did acknowledge. Not that in particular, but said that he should not get life in prison when he didn't even shoot anybody. And the judge did acknowledge that his attorney did point out some good things that may work on appeal. So that remains to be seen if he does get a new trial on a state level. But now that he's been convicted, like the McMichaels, on these hate crime charges, he was the only one that could have walked out of prison in 30 years, and it looks like that's not going to happen because these charges that they have will more than likely give them life in prison. Where they will serve this remains to be seen. The family of Ahmaud Arbery wants them to serve their time in state prison as opposed to federal prison, where apparently everybody would like to go if they are sentenced because of the conditions of federal prison. So that's the end of that horrific saga of Ahmaud Arbery. None of this brings him back, but this is a step in the right direction because they had two predominantly white juries for both of these cases, and a jury of their peers did sentence them and put them away and held them responsible. So they made a terrible judgment about Ahmaud, and that cost them their freedom, rightfully so. So let me know what you guys think. Give me your feedback on this case. And before I end it, the three ex-officers from Minnesota that were involved with the murder of George Floyd have all been convicted on their federal charges. They were not charged with hate crimes, but they were charged with violating George Floyd's rights. So they are all convicted. Their state trial looks like it begins in June. So I'll definitely give you guys an update on that. And of course, when their sentence happens, and of course, when the McMichaels and William Roddy Bryan are sentenced to federal time, I'll give you guys an update. So I'll see you on March 7th. Have a good rest of your day or night whenever you are listening to this. Send me your feedback, thetoxicmompodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on social media. We'll chat soon.